Hello and welcome to the ERP Organizational Change Journal podcast, brought to you by Nessel & Associates. Nessel & Associates is an ERP organizational change management firm serving the private equity industry. I'm your co-host, Jonathan Donald, the founder of Invert Ventures, a change strategy firm, and I'm here with my friend and colleague, Dr. Jack Nessel, the founder of Nessel & Associates, and the host of the ERP Organizational Change Journal podcast. The ERP Organizational Change Journal seeks to share expertise, insight, and create effective conversation to help guide ERP organizational change to real, measurable, and verified success, expanding what we can see so we can act in a more effective way. We seek to promote, connect, and foster relationships in the ERP organizational change community. The primary purpose of this podcast is to discuss, share, and reflect upon effective and efficient ways in which to realize ERP organizational change success. We will discuss the people, process, and technological components of ERP organizational change. This podcast is intended as a forum to study, share, and discuss ERP organizational change. It's our intention for this to be a collaboration tool and resource. We hope that you find this podcast useful as we share lessons learned, discover best practices, and explore the human elements and components of ERP organizational change. Our podcast draws on knowledge from extensive research, collaborative learning, practitioner experience of both project successes and project failures. A general review of the themes of ERP and organizational change practice, literature, and research suggests that understanding and critically having an awareness of tactics founded in principle is fundamental to ERP organizational change success. Our podcast will discuss these tactics, explore these approaches, and discover the principles that they are founded upon so that they may prove to be useful in addressing ERP organizational change challenges and risks.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'm always so excited and looking forward to fun conversations with you and our guest. We seek to promote, connect, and foster relationships in the ERP organizational change community. As we are a podcast that desires to engage in valuable insight into the world of ERP organizational change success with interviews and roundtable talk, our guests include experts and pioneers in a field, organizational stakeholders, practitioners, and researchers. Our podcast is a platform for those seeking to share, learn, and reflect on ERP organizational change success.
In this episode, we will discuss industry-specific ERP differentiators, people, process, and technology, with Mr. Paul Van Meter. Paul Van Meter is the co-founder of ProShop ERP. ProShop ERP is a solution for small to medium manufacturing companies that provides all the traditional functionings of ERP, manufacturing execution systems, MES, quality management systems, QMS. Mr. Van Meter is also a board member of the Pacific Northwest Aerospace Alliance, PNAA, where he helps to ensure the mission of serving SMEs in the aerospace and defense industry in the Pacific Northwest region and bringing about value for all stakeholders. Paul also has extensive experience running an aerospace manufacturing company, which he's led for many years. Jack, I'm really excited to talk to Paul Van Meter.
Likewise, Jonathan, this is going to be a fun conversation. As you'd mentioned in this episode, we will discuss industry-specific ERP and differentiators. We will also discuss one industry-specific ERP manufacturer's approach to the ERP organizational change triad, people, processes, and technology. There is one best ERP solution for each and every unique organization, and I know we've talked about that many times on this program, but what does that really mean? And the organization needs to take the time and effort to find that one best fit without making assumptions, but how? In fact, research suggests that ERP system selection, implementation, methodology, and partner selection is critical for successful ERP organizational change projects. For instance, there are nearly 100 discrete manufacturing ERP vendors. Some ERP solutions cater to specific industries, while some cater across industries. Some come with industry-specific configurations and have hundreds of pre-configured business processes. Some cater to specific niches with little configuration. And some have been around since the beginning of the ERP era, and some that we don't even know about yet will bring to the market new and exciting products with creativity and innovation. ERP solutions utilize different models and often cater to different business needs, and some have all the bells and whistles and try to be everything to everyone, while others are very industry specific and cater to a niche market. They often employ technology differently and have different approaches to functionality, implementation, and business modeling. In addition, they have different competitive differentiators that drive how they advertise and approach the market. There is free and open source ERP, and there are proprietary ERP vendors as well. And there are even ERP vendors that focus on add-ons only. But what really matters and what really makes for an organization's success is being mindful of how critical that triad, the people, processes, and technology is, and hence the true differentiators that ERP solutions and vendors bring to the table. So let's learn more with our guests as we discuss potential people, processes, and technology differentiators, including the value placed on organizational learning, culture, trust, and much more. On the ProShop ERP website, it says, who actually loves their ERP? Is there even such a thing? Typically, love and ERP don't belong in the same sentence. Check out why many ProShop ERP customers have to say about that. Paul, thank you so much for being on our show today. I'm really looking forward to sharing your experience with our listeners.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate being here. Yeah, you have a cool podcast, and it's an honor to be a part of it.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. All right, well, let's dive in. So, Paul, the first question is, what is ProShop exactly?
Yeah, ProShop is something that we actually call it more than just an ERP, or it's a little bit different than just ERP. We call it a digital manufacturing ecosystem. And the reason we do that is it's considerably more focused on manufacturing execution and quality management in conjunction with some of the core ERP functions. But our main focus is helping small to medium-sized manufacturing companies that need to handle complex manufacturing processes, typically in a regulated industry like aerospace or medical.
Sure. So would you consider yourself more of a niche ERP platform?
Very much niche. Yes, absolutely.
So can you explain for our listeners, what's the benefit of a niche ERP platform in a partner? Aren't there many tier one players that can provide all the same functionality? So what's the benefit of a niche player such as your product?
Yeah, I think the real difference comes in sort of the domain expertise that that a niche company like us brings. Not only the people we employ and their experience and backgrounds, but the specific features and products that we've built, you know, within ProShop that are very specific to some of those things that I mentioned. You know, companies trying to manage complex manufacturing processes in a regulated industry. And from what we've seen, the big tier one players, you know, they have amazing sets of features, but they're just not always quite so dialed in specifically for what these small niche companies actually need to do. So a lot of times there just aren't features or functions that provide what we provide.
Sure. So bells and whistles can be good and being all things to all people. There's a place for that, but there's also a place for industry specific functionality and expertise as well, I think is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, here at ProShop, we ran our own manufacturing company for about 17 years before we got into the software business. And so we deeply understand our little niche. We don't claim to be good at anything but that, but we do that one little piece really well.
Sure. So Paul, you mentioned on your website that, quote, you don't need to struggle with an ERP, which isn't designed for your business. ProShop dramatically improves efficiency because it focuses on improving the execution of manufacturing shop processes. The result? Dramatic labor and cost savings, both in the shop and in the office, that can be used to cut costs or to scale and grow. It's your choice. What will you do with your 25% cost savings? End quote. Your site also stated, Paul, that, quote, ProShop includes all the traditional functions of ERP, MES, and QMS, but it is a completely novel approach that works considerably better than other products on the market, end quote. How do you accomplish this exactly relevant to your competition in terms of a novel approach?
Yeah, so again, to be honest, I think this partly comes down to how ProShop was built in the first place. When we ran that manufacturing company I mentioned, we actually started that company right out of college. None of us in the business had studied business. None of us knew what ERP software was. And so when we started, we were just a few years old, and we started growing to the point where we really needed some software to help organize and run things. And we started doing research on products out there. And we just could not find anything that approached the problems that we were having, the things we were trying to solve in our business. And so we just, rather than buying one of those systems and still having lots of other workarounds, we decided to hire a software developer and build something ourselves. But keep in mind that none of us had ever used an ERP system in our lives. But yet we were here, we were trying to design one. So the way we approached it, the types of problems we tried to solve, the features we built, were just really different than what else is on the market. So just focusing on those really specific features that our company needed seems to resonate with a lot of other companies that are really similar.
Interesting story, Paul. That's just amazing. So really, you had I guess I would summarize your response by saying kind of a school of hard knocks approach to developing a product that specifically fits your needs. And by doing that, it sounds to me like there were really no constraints or restraints in terms of what was already on the market, right? I mean, you just approached the development of your product as a clean slate and completely thinking outside the box.
Yeah, and really no preconceived notions about what it actually should be like. And I think that turned out to be an advantage to what we built.
Interesting. Great story. Paul, I have a question here. You had a quote, and I'm just curious as to what you mean by this exactly, or I should say a quote on your website, rather. And that was, quote, "We also take a very intimate approach to helping our customers implement and realize improvements in their business." And you said, quote, "intimate approach." What does that look like? And what does that mean?
Yeah. So again, this might be because when we started selling it to others, we had never experienced what it was like to do an ERP implementation. So we just did what we thought made sense. So we pair up our customers with an implementation specialist, sometimes more than one, but typically we're working with small to medium-sized companies, so one person is typically enough. And they work really close, like shoulder to shoulder, or virtually shoulder to shoulder these days, for 30 to 50 hours of dedicated one-on-one training time, where we're going through all the modules and workflow and sort of the value stream of their company and showing them how ProShop works, training them in it. And those people get to know each other really, really well, I'd say become friends in most cases. And just, I've had clients say, we think of our implementation specialist as one of the team. They'll be having a meeting and they'll say, "Hey, what does Luke think about this?" And they call Luke up and say, "Hey, Luke, what do you think about this issue we're having?" And so there's also a very consultative approach the way we take this. And since our team has a lot of domain expertise, we can often provide insights into best practices of how to run their business or how we solved that problem when we ran our business. So that's kind of what we mean by that intimate approach.
So, Paul, do you have the same team throughout the duration, so the same boots on the ground, so to speak, throughout the entire implementation?
We do, yes. On occasion, they'll pull a specialist in, for an hour or two to work on some special little thing. But for the most part, they're paired up with one primary implementation person that goes through the whole journey with them.
You have a blog post called "Building Trust Between the Estimating Department and Shop Floor." And you'd mentioned trust. Why do you feel the trust between departments and stakeholder groups is relevant to successful ERP implementation?
Sure. So, that particular blog post was about the actual workflow in a company, not related to ERP. But trust is, of course, crucially critical to ERP. If there is not trust, there's, I'd say, almost a nearly certain chance of failure, right? Without buy-in from the entire team and trust in the product and the team that's executing it, it will be very difficult to have all the team members, the whole organization, rowing in the same direction, right? With all their energy. And if they're not rowing in that same direction, as I'm sure you know in your experience, it's just a recipe to have a much more challenging implementation and potentially failure.
Absolutely. And I think trust is a essential component of a learning organization, right? I mean, trust is a big part of constructive conversation, which is a part of organizational learning.
Absolutely, sure.
Speaking of a learning organization, you also had a blog post on your site that we enjoyed here when we reviewed it on our end. And it was called Building a Learning Organization, in which you stated that, quote, a friend of ours and ProShop customer, and I believe it was Joanna Boatwright, recently sent us an excerpt of a paper she wrote for a change management class. In the paper, she outlines how a fictitious company, Parker Manufacturing, can evolve itself from a traditional organization to a learning organization, end quote. She then described learning in the context of leadership, strategy, culture, structure, and systems, really in terms of advocating for, as well as benefiting from, organizational learning. What do you have to say about the value of learning, of a learning organization, and why did you feel it was important to post that work?
Yeah, well, Joanna worked for one of our customers, and the owner of that company, well, I thought it was a great article, you know, and a great thing that she was working on for her class.
Sure.
And she subsequently went on to get her degree, which is awesome. But the owner of that company, Ken, is a really insightful guy as well. And I think part of this concept came from him. And when he told me at one point why he chose ProShop in the first place, because he never really shared exactly why, he said that one of the most important things that they can do as a company is to increase the rate of change in their learning process. And that's true in any organization. You know, a company that does not learn quickly and doesn't adapt quickly is destined to grow at a slower pace and not adapt to times and changes and technology. But a company that can increase their rate of learning can dramatically outpace their competition and do well in the market and just sort of more thrive as a company. So that's the other reason that we thought this paper was just so important, because that concept of the rate of change in learning is just, it's like compound interest. You know, if you have it,
exactly.
Yeah. If you don't, you know, it's one of the seven wonders of the world, right? Whatever it is.
That's a great way to put it. I love that. But yeah, so true. Just the organizational learning and its value to ERP success. And, you know, ERP organizational change can be quite disruptive and challenging. Mm-hmm. But I think a key to minimizing that is absolutely, it's just incremental, you know, learning. It's organizational learning day by day. That was really a nice post. Well done by Joanna. So, you know, organizational learning is one thing, but I think you've also heard of the term tribal knowledge. And you folks had a blog as well called Don't Let Tribal Knowledge Kill Your Shop. What do you mean by that? And what's wrong with tribal knowledge?
Well, so tribal knowledge is sort of, to define it for people, I'm sure they mostly know, but it's knowledge that is inside the heads of the people in your organization, right? It's passed down, you know, through whatever means, but there's a huge amount of value in, you know, the knowledge inside of people's heads. And in a lot of companies, there's not enough of a system to capture that knowledge and help transfer it to the next generation or the other workers. Right. Whether it's a really key employee, right, that leaves to go follow a different job or retires, you know, as the baby boomers are doing in millions right now. These companies that don't have formal processes for documenting, retaining, and capturing that knowledge are losing a huge amount of value. Right. Mm-hmm. And this comes right back to a learning organization. Imagine the cost of relearning all the things that all these people know. That really sets you back in terms of just the cost it's going to take to relearn all those things. But if you can, you know, develop systems for capturing that and easily sharing it with others, that will increase the rate of learning change and not have to reinvent the wheel with all these things that these people have in their heads.
Yeah. And I think everything that you're saying applies to all cycles of the ERP implementation process, right? So pre, during, and post ERP implementation, these ideas that you mentioned and transfer of that tribal knowledge to a point where it's true, it becomes organizational learning is pretty mm-hmm. critical.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then I think, you know, organizational learning and this idea of tribal knowledge is very, very important, very critical. And yeah, there's a lot of stakeholders that have a tremendous amount of valuable knowledge. And turning that into organizational learning and sharing means that you have to build a culture of organizational learning, right? And that culture has to have kind of actionable tactics in which to create an organizational learning environment. And so, yeah, that starts with culture. Mm-hmm. You have a best practices video, Paul, called Culture. And I enjoyed that video. And you stated yourself, this is a direct quote from you, that, quote, cultural implications of ERP and ERP transition have an impact, end quote. And you had a customer, I believe his name was Matt, and he stated in the same interview that we had a story of failure. We were not failing due to lack of effort. We were failing due to lack of understanding and fit. So he then goes on to add that we decided we had one more shot to do it right, but we knew we had to change our culture. So you sell and implement software. Why does culture matter?
Well, as I'm sure you know, and just alluded to a minute ago, you know, culture is vitally important to any major institutional change. You know, if a company has a culture of not being aligned, not taking ownership or responsibility, not being bought into the process, not rowing in the same direction, that's just going to make any change just incredibly hard. And there are a few things more potentially challenging than a full ERP implementation because it's just so baked into the DNA of the company. You know, what we're doing with ProShop is, you know, with our typical client is pretty much a full digital transformation, right? Going from a fairly traditional paper-based type of system to completely paperless, totally digital. So that's a big shift. But if they have a culture then of buying into the process, being aligned, being supportive, being curious, and right, that's gonna just guaranteed help the process go more smoothly and have a much greater chance of success and just less friction along the way.
Absolutely. So it's not just about ERP implementation, right? It's about effective and efficient ERP implementation. And
and more fundamentally, any major institutional change, of which ERP exactly. is a pretty major one.
Absolutely. So the first few questions here, I focused on the people, and now I just want to switch gears to one question on the technology piece of that triad, people, processes, and technology. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything to say in terms of emerging technology and its relevance to ERP in general, and its relevance to your product as well? Anything to share with our listeners as far as kind of where you're headed from a technological standpoint and emerging technologies?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, clearly cloud ERP not just emerging. You know, some people like NetSuite have been doing it for years and years, but there's still a surprising number of on-prem solutions out there. So just what cloud enables, just how much easier it is to flow information and update the system and access it from anywhere and to different devices and without having to have installed software. So that's pretty crucial, we think. Now, we happen to have chosen a NoSQL type database years and years ago, and we're glad we did. We think it offers some benefits to the way we organize and report data. And then, of course, APIs are more and more important all the time. You know, everybody wants their ERP to talk with other systems and be able to share data easily and have that free flow. We're investing in that right now, building APIs and just starting to see the benefits of doing that. And, of course, things like artificial intelligence are absolutely going to just become a cornerstone part of any system. You know, be able to do better data analytics and provide insights into all the data that ERP systems have that may not be abundantly obvious to someone just looking at tables of data. But for us, it's really been about sort of the practical applications of not super cutting edge technology, but just, you know, solid, good, basic technology practices and, you know, using them in really unique ways to solve problems that other systems don't solve quite the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, and you mentioned APIs and systems integrations is critical, and it has been, but it's getting even more and more so. You know, in a world of omni-channel and end-to-end supply chains, the idea of being able to integrate with other ERPs and with other information systems is key.
It absolutely is, yep. And it's really becoming sort of a prerequisite. People just don't want to have to export data and re-import it into some other place, right? Business is happening faster. It needs that sort of near real time or real time information exchange.
Absolutely. So now, Paul, to switch gears to the process part of that triad, I would like to ask you a few questions in terms of business process and implementation processes. This caught the attention of one of our teammates here at Nessel & Associates, but you stated on your website, when a machinist starts to set up a machine, they should never have to leave the machine before they have a good part. Most ERPs can't help you with this. Can you tell us how or why that is?
Sure. And this, I think, gets to the core of why we decided to build ProShip in the first place. You know, remember my story, we were 3 years out of college in our own manufacturing company, which was largely a machine shop, although we evolved into other things as well over the years. But, you know, and we're looking for software to help us do our jobs better. And when we asked all these ERP vendors, you know, show us how you can help reduce our setup times and help provide the information that we need to our people right there on the spot, largely the answer was, no, we don't do that. You know, that's not part of our system, right? Our system can help you with inventory and invoicing and estimating and order entry, but no, the manufacturing process, that's not what ERP systems are for, right? You'll need something else for that. We were a little bit dumbfounded because in a manufacturing company, that's where the value is created. That is the beating heart of a manufacturing company is the actual shop floor and the execution of manufacturing processes. So we built, you know, we decided to build ProShop, and we have very specific tools that relate to visual work instructions and quality checking and reporting and organizational tools for making sure everything that, and this does actually get into the concept of sort of lean manufacturing and providing tools to eliminate waste, which often lead to long setup times or inefficient workflows out on the factory floor.
Yeah. So to add to that question, Paul, we love reading and researching, so I'm going to quote you again.
Okay, sure.
So in a blog, Speed Up and Save Costs, you stated that, quote, traditional manufacturing ERP systems completely ignore the most important part of your business, and that is the actual manufacturing process. That's where ProShop ERP software is miles ahead of any other system. We very easily and intuitively help you manage the manufacturing process. The result? Most customers report setup reductions of 50% and total labor savings of 25% or more. That means you can make more money with the same machines and people. So we got to ask, how so? Can you, I know it's kind of a loaded question and there's a lot of factors here, but 50% setup reductions and labor savings of 25%, that's a pretty big number.
They are. And those are numbers that our customers report to us. So we didn't just make those up for marketing fodder. So I mentioned earlier about on the last question, it really comes down to some lean concepts, right? And if you've studied lean or a practitioner of lean, right, there are specifically as it relates, and let's just talk about machine setups, because that's, you know, one of the claims that we have of 50% or more, is we provide specific tools to help companies really attack their setups and take as much of it external to the machine as possible. So in lean thinking, there's internal setup and external setup, right? Things that you can do to prepare a job or a work order before it actually hits the equipment, right? The equipment is what's making us money. When their spindles are turning or the machines are running, making product, that's what we get paid for. So we want to minimize downtime of that equipment and maximize, you know, the utilization of that equipment. And largely that, you know, for the setup of equipment, that means coming to the machine as absolutely prepared as possible to try to achieve that, you know, sort of Toyota production system concept of SMED, you know, single minute exchange of dies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we built a lot of tools in ProShop to help with that. And again, this is normally a part of the process that a traditional sort of accounting based ERP just doesn't even begin to think about. But we think it's crucial because this is the money making part of the business. But quite honestly, people could take these same exact principles using paper or spreadsheets and still get 50% reduction in their setup times. We just happen to make it simpler and a more organized way to, you know, manage that process
Sure.
at scale.
Yeah. Interesting. So Paul, another, you know, all that kind of comes down to implementing the best tool to help support your business processes, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, that's how you realize 50% setup reduction and 25% savings, labor savings, is having a system that's well aligned with your business requirements and your business model and your business processes, and mm-hmm. that can help yeah. support those lean approaches to manufacturing. So the next question I have, and I think that this statement or this quote is extremely relevant for organizations as well. So it's not only, you know, kind of post-implementation and the savings you're going to get there, you know, as in the 50% or the 25%, for instance, but again, this is off your site. Quote, the best manufacturing ERP system in the world isn't worth anything if it isn't well implemented. We've heard from hundreds of companies who have failed to successfully implement their prior ERP systems and are gun-shy to try something new, but desperate for a solution to their problems. They either fully abandoned the new system midway during the process and went back to their old ways of doing things, or they're using far less than the full capability of their new ERP system. It's a tragic situation with real-world implications for their business, end quote. Man, Paul, that is true. And so given that truth, what is it about the ProShop implementation process that you would say is a differentiator? I know we touched on this earlier, but
we did, and I'll come back to that same similar answer. You know, it's that intimate and detailed approach of working side by side with customers, with our domain expertise implementation people, and who genuinely really care about their success. So they have all the heart they're bringing to it, but they have the, you know, the years of industry experience there as well. And what that means is that they really understand the nuances of the business issues that our customers are facing. You know, when we have companies come to us with a failed or not fully utilized system, one of the things that they tell us is that they bought that system. They took three or four people and they sent them to Chicago or Vegas or New Jersey to go attend 5 days of training.
Yeah.
And they went and they did that. And then they came back to work, right, after being gone for a week. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure their inboxes were piled high with things to do. And they are now expected to train everybody else and implement this incredibly complex system. Now, obviously, with a bigger system, that's not generally how it works. In the small to medium-sized sector that we most often deal with, you know, that's often what the training implementation looks like. And that's just a recipe for disaster as far as we're concerned. So taking a more detailed approach, doing it sort of in bite-sized chunks, and then using their actual business as the mechanism for doing the learning. So in our process, like we start at the beginning of the process with estimating and quoting of new projects. And then we advocate for taking that actual work you just did on doing some practice work on real projects and then start using ProShop immediately and using those actual projects as the training fodder for the next stages of training, including order entry and contract review and planning and purchasing and things of that sort. So just jump in with both feet. You know, don't try to learn the entire system for weeks and weeks or months and then try to implement it. No, do it in bite-sized chunks. Start using it immediately. Get that muscle memory going. And we think that's a much better formula.
Yeah, great insight. You know, I always say that if you bite off more than you can chew, you can choke, right?
I love that. That's
the
so
same
perfect.
Idea.
Absolutely.
You know, Paul, we know, I mean, it's well known, you know, partner fit is crucial, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we do a lot of ERP selection projects at Nestle & Associates, and based on experience, but, you know, based on research, partner fit is a pretty critical influence to success. And that means lots of things that we won't get into on this conversation, but it caught our attention on your website. You have a achieving success section in which you list several influences, which included, quote, making sure the customer is a good fit, end quote, and, quote, sticking with our customer. What if a customer is not a good fit, and how do you know? And how do you stick with the customer? So there's two-part questions there. What if they're not a good fit, and how do you know that? And is that a risk to ProShop? And if they are a good partner, what do you mean by stick with the customer?
Sure. Well, it certainly is a risk for us, and it's even more of a risk for them. So first of all, we try to do this by being pretty selective in who we try to market ProShop to and target as a customer, you know, really in this sort of niche that I mentioned. So first of all, we're not going to try to, you know, and we've been approached by companies. They're like, hey, I have this cabinet making company or this food processing company, and it, you know, I kind of like some of the features you have. And we'll generally say, appreciate that, but there's enough things that aren't a great fit that we just don't think it's a great idea. And there's probably a better system out there for you. So just being really selective about who we work with. And then there could be a company that fits the exact right profile in the fact that, you know, maybe they're an aerospace manufacturer of 50 people and they are AS9100 certified. So they have the quality management requirement that we're so good at. But they could still be a terrible fit if their culture isn't right, if it's clear to us that they're not going to have full alignment and buy-in by their team. And you can't always vet those things up front, but we're getting better and better at trying to do so. Because we don't want to get a purchase order and a payment from a company that we genuinely can't help them get all the way to the finish line and succeed with, right? So we'd rather avoid those in the first place.
Yeah. So does your team during your sales meeting calls and sitting around the board table actually have conversations as to whether or not you're a good fit for a customer and being politely and properly declining opportunities as a result?
Absolutely. We just did one today. Again, seemed like a great fit from just what kind of business they are. But just during the sales process, they kept asking the same questions over and over again, and we'd explain it, and they're like, yeah, but what about this? And it was clear that some companies, for some reason or another, they just get it, they understand it, it kind of clicks in their mind, and others, we could just tell in that case that would be a very challenging learning and implementation process if they just keep coming back to the same exact question and just not getting it. And sometimes it just comes down to the individual people on the team that really need to learn this stuff. And other times it might be more cultural and just their openness to learning. But, you know, so we're not sure, but I told our sales guy, I said, you know, you need to have a super frank discussion with the owner and say, we're seeing some red flags here. We're not sure it's a great idea if you would want to continue with us. And, you know, what do you have to say about that?
Hmm. So transparency right out of the gates.
100%. Yes.
You know, as I'd mentioned, we do a fair amount of ERP selection projects, and we write quite a few articles and posts on the topic. Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned reasons for failure. And these are two ideas that in my mind are highly related to selection. But in the same article, you state how to choose the right ERP system for your shop. And the article goes on to say, quote, when considering which ERP system to choose, there are multiple factors to consider. Here are a few of the mistakes we have seen shops make during the ERP selection and integration process. So you mentioned several, Paul, in this article, or your team did, but two of them that I just want to call out are, the first one is not giving more weight to the needs of all departments. And the second one was not finding real and unfiltered references. How can organizations accomplish these two points? What piece of advice do you have for organizations? Because I think these are two pretty important. And really that first one, not giving more weight to the needs of all departments, really what you're doing with that, of course, is a very functional concern, right? You could be missing out on functional requirements. But the other thing is, you know, back to this conversation around organizational learning and organizational culture, you're excluding people from the process and potentially entire departments, if that's the case, where they're not being a part of the team and taking ownership and committed and, you know, all the benefits that come along with participation, right? So what can you say more about those two points?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to, I realize I didn't fully answer your question about sticking with the customer on the last one. So we'll hopefully can get back to that one. I guess the easiest to explain for people to get, because I think it's fairly common, is because we see this all the time as well. We see the CFO or the controller or the accounting department leading the ERP research. And of course, they have their, you know, list of things that they really want to make sure the system has. And very often they're not considering in a more formal way the rest of the team, you know, and the rest of the other departments in the company. And so we've definitely heard of companies where they buy something that's incredibly strong in accounting or distribution or something that is important. Those parts of the business have to run well. But the whole manufacturing department is just left with something that just doesn't have the tools they need to really do their jobs well. So they're constantly making workarounds and other little spreadsheets and little databases and other things that they need to help in their department. And that's just an incredible loss of opportunity to get the whole company more efficient and really adding value. We think in the area of the company where value is added, right? You're taking raw materials, turning them into finished goods. That's where the value comes from. So having, you know, more weight or making sure that that department's needs are considered is just fundamentally crucial.
Absolutely.
And then the, you know, not finding real or unfiltered references. Any vendor will have a few really great customers that sort of in the back pocket, always happy to be a reference and share their experience. But that may be a relatively small set of perhaps a bigger group that's just not quite as happy. I'd say it's worth certainly talking to the references that are provided, but I'd also recommend looking in forums, on review websites, other places where you can, you know, maybe find less filtered feedback about a product and try to connect with those people and talk to them and say, hey, you know, what is it? Why did you share this? What is it about it that worked or didn't work? Or what is, you know, what's the real scoop? I think that's really important because we've also heard many companies say that, you know, they did their research, the demos that the sales team looked really great. They talked to a couple of references that had glowing things to say, but then when they actually got into it, it just wasn't nearly as good as the picture that was painted. And they really had that buyer's remorse and, you know, wished that they had done more thorough research on the front end.
Absolutely. Paul, I want to circle back to that point, but before we do, I apologize. I asked you a question. I think I cut you short, but I do want to circle back to this idea of sticking with the customer and what does that mean? Can you add more to that, please?
Yeah. Well, part of it is, again, our approach for, you know, not just sending a customer to a training class and then letting them, you know, wishing them good luck as they come back to their company. So because we're right in there with them during this whole process, you know, I'm sure, as you know, if you're involved in the actual implementation side of things, there's this sort of effort to benefit curve, right? That's very steep at the beginning, right? There's all sorts of effort going in and people are learning. The other side of the peak where the effort is going down and the benefits of the new system are really starting to create ROI and value and make it easy for people. So there sometimes requires some, I'll call it tough love, right? During that uphill part where you just got to be empathetic. You got to understand, you know, what they're going through or the difficult points. Maybe it's a particular employee that's just digging their heels in and resistance change. So you got to have both some frank conversations with leadership and empathize, and but a little bit of tough love as well, saying, I know this is hard, but, you know, we're not that far off from the peak and it's just going to get easier. And here's a bunch of other companies, you know, your size that could share their exact experience of where they were on the curve. And then at what point it just started becoming kind of magic, right? It's important to be there to have those conversations. And if you're just sending clients to a class and then wishing them well, and if they want to call you for consulting hours, that's their prerogative. I just don't think you're going to even have the opportunity to have those conversations when those clients need them.
Sure. Right. I think that, you know, sometimes going into these organizational change efforts, well, first of all, as you'd mentioned, constructive conversation and constructive conflict is actually healthy. And sometimes that's needed, right? And when you think, when you say stick with the customer, like you said, take a step back and reflect, because you folks being a ERP software company, you know what you know. But a lot of times organizations, they just don't know what they don't know. And I think that's a very fair statement, right? They may not really grasp the real realities and expectations of an ERP implementation. And so I think sometimes having that ability to conceptually and tactically work them through that is incredible. And that's really what I think when you say stick with the customer, it's really guiding mm-hmm. them and coaching them and working them through the good and the challenges.
Totally. So, yeah, absolutely. You're right about that. Yep.
Actually, I just want to state for our listeners really quick, we do have many ERP vendors joining us on the ERP Organizational Change Journal, and we love to hear different perspectives, but ProShop and Nesson Associates have no prior engagement, so I just want to let our vendors know that. So, Paul, what is more likely? One, 100% perfect success with no major challenges, or two, some challenges, but the organization endures due to strong leadership and therefore success. Which of those two scenarios is more likely?
Well, number two, definitely, of course, is more likely. We all hope for number one, and we have had our fair share of number ones, and it's really magical when that happens. Mm-hmm. But there's always bumps in the road, typically, and it does come down to that strong culture and leadership where that's just the key point. And I can share two different stories, one of success and one of failure, if that would help.
Absolutely, please.
So we had a company, about a 50-person aerospace manufacturer, and the owner of the company actually lived in California, and the company itself was on the East Coast. And the owner had reached out to us, and we had done some demos, and he really liked what he saw, and he knew another customer of ours that was happy with it. And so he made the choice to move to ProShop. And so when we got on our first call with his team to do the kickoff, the first question they asked was, what is ProShop? Which is not the right question to ask at an ERP kickoff meeting. So we just knew right then and there that that was going to be an uphill battle. In fact, definitely was. Their implementation failed. But their team just dug their heels in. There was no clear directive, but that this is actually what we're doing. Give it a chance. Get on board, that type of thing. And that was a really tough lesson to learn. So that was one of the reasons we now make sure that if we're talking to an owner, that we're like, okay, let's get your team. Let's do some other meetings with the purchasing team, the engineering team, the manufacturing team, and make sure the best that we can, that there's full alignment with everybody. Another, I'll call it a success story, is a manufacturer up in Boston area, and they had used a prior system for many, many years, and they decided to move to ProShop, and the owner of the company, maybe in a little bit of his sort of East Coast blunt way, said, we're moving to ProShop. If I get any arguments or anyone that doesn't fully participate in this, I will fire you immediately. But once we're done and you understand this new system, you know, our company is now working in it, then I want to hear all your feedback, right? I want you to tell me what you like and don't like about it. And we'll work on those things. But before you fully understand and before we're fully transitioned over, I don't want any arguments. I don't want any, you know, pushback. I don't want any heels dug in. And they had an amazingly easy and very effective implementation. And they absolutely love it. So that was clear guidance from the leader right at the very get-go that you're either with me or you're against me. And it was a brilliant outcome.
Great stories. Yeah. That's a really neat story, the second story, because I think what you're doing is you're sending the message that we're in this, you know, we're in it for keeps and we need to make this work. We have no choice. So let's roll up your sleeves and let's learn. Let's use it as a learning process and get through it. And then let's have productive conversations as we grow and learn together. So interesting story, you know, and I think a part of that depends on the leadership. Sometimes if you force something down the organization's throat, so to speak, for lack of a better term, sometimes that can create even more resistance. That's a great story because I've heard that before and it does work, but I think there's that line between, you know, finding that balance on how to do that successfully so it doesn't backfire.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, you know, the backstory to that is that this owner is a very connected guy to his team, great relationships with them, normally yeah. doesn't bring down the hammer like that, so that he has a strong foundation to build off of, you know, yeah. and indeed, he had a lot of buy-in already, you know, he had people yep. join us for demos and get excited and get all pumped up for how this was going to help their company.
Yeah.
So he probably didn't need to say that, but he did it anyway, and it just made sure everything just went super smooth.
Well, and I think that is important, right? I think sending that message, because the problem is if you don't do that in a certain way or to a certain degree, and it creates noise, where if you allow one or two people or department to kind of go their own way and not be motivated to own the system and to accomplish the end game, that can create more noise. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important one way or another to figure out what's causing noise and resistance to begin with, and then getting everybody aligned and sending a pretty clear message from the top that we're all in this together. We're going to work together, but by golly, we're going to get it done. So there's everybody, let's just get on the bus and let's get this done. So yeah, great stories.
And if anyone wants to learn more about that one, we actually did a webinar on ERP implementation, and that customer joined us as a guest on the webinar and shared more of his thoughts. So that's on our website and our video library.
We'll be sure to find that, Paul, and include that along with all the other articles that we reference in our show notes. And then, of course, we'll have a link to your website, too. So I do encourage our listeners to check out some of your information. All right. Hey, Paul, it's been a great conversation, great insight. And I have one more question for you. And this tends to be Jonathan and my favorite question. And that is, lastly, if you had to summarize your experience and expertise, what words of wisdom, what words of advice would you give our listeners in terms of ERP organizational change success?
I guess it would, to summarize kind of everything we talked about in the last hour, make sure that the whole team is included in the research, make sure that their needs are clearly defined and that you're finding concrete solutions to their actual problems, that whatever product you choose, that there's really great buy-in from the whole team and enthusiasm that this is what we're doing. And then being, I think, humble and open to learning. Some of the more frictiony ones we've had are where we have a company that says, this is the way we do things, and we need your system to do it exactly that way. Even if we say, we totally understand that problem, and we have a much more efficient way to tackle that same thing. And the reason you're doing this is because you had to do it that way for years because you didn't have any other options.
Right.
So just being curious and open and humble, I think, is, qualities that are just core to a company that's going to have a much better experience with something, some kind of big change like this, whether it's ERP or something totally different. Just those qualities are abundantly important.
Great, great advice. And really quick, Paul, I did want to circle back to that second to the last question where I ask you what is more likely, 100% perfect success with no major challenges or some challenges, but the organization endures due to strong culture typically and therefore success. So I have to admit I tested you a little bit because any organization that says they're 100% perfect with no major challenges, organizations need to probe a little deeper is our belief. But thank you for that. We all know that there's a lot of ERP vendors, and of course, you folks have been very successful and have realized some great success, but that doesn't mean that they're all perfect. And I think it's really important for that transparency and honesty to customers, because it's a disservice for them to think that there's a few days ago we did an article on this, but to think that there's a magic wand and crystal ball and everything's just hunky-dory is a really disservice to the organization.
Yes, absolutely. ERP is just a tool, just like any other tool that you might use to solve a problem. If you use the tool effectively, it can be great. If you try to use it not as designed, it can be really challenging and not nearly as effective. So, and we definitely don't have a 100% track record, but what I do know is that whenever we run into a challenge, we look at the root cause of why is this happening? What can we do to avoid it? How can we improve our process? And how can we just make it better next time and eliminate this from happening again in the future?
Yeah, good point. We went through a vendor selection one time, and during the sales cycle, a vendor insisted that they were 100% perfect, and we knew better. So they were one of the, again, trust and transparency is so important, but they didn't make the short list because, again, that idea that we talked about earlier with partnership and being the partner fit is really important. So, but thank you so much for that. Appreciate it. Paul, we just scratched the surface today, but thank you so much for your time. We truly appreciate your expertise, experience, and insight, and it was such a fun conversation. Thanks again, and be well.
Thank you, Jack. I really appreciate your time and great questions. Take care.
Please join us in our next episode as we discuss effective principle-based learning with Mr. Alexander Salas as we explore learning, training, and performance support. Alexander Salas is an award-winning e-learning designer, learning facilitator, and instructional designer. He's the owner of StyleLearn, a consulting firm, and also chief of awesomeness at elearninglaunch.com. Please join us again next week.
Listeners, thank you for joining us on today's episode. We are incredibly excited and grateful to have friends, colleagues, and mentors join us on our podcast. We have an incredible lineup of guests, including ERP and organizational change speakers, authors, professors, researchers, pioneers in the field, practitioners, PE partners, business executives, ERP vendors, and organizational stakeholders. We invite you to leave us feedback and a review because we want to make this the most useful and insightful podcast you listen to. And we need your help to do so.
Thank you, listeners, for being with us again this week as we seek to, one, promote, connect, and foster relationships in the ERP organizational change community, two, contribute to the field of ERP organizational change, and three, bring research and practice closer together. Please join us again next week as we discuss the latest ERP organizational change research, practice, and stories. Our podcast will draw on knowledge from extensive research, collaborative learning, and practitioner expertise and experience.
From everyone here on the team, Jack, and myself, we wish you a great week, and we hope to see you again soon on another episode.
Hashtag the ERP Organizational Change Journal. Have a fantastic week.
Bye for now.